We're going to read this morning Luke chapter 2. The text for the sermon is going to come from Matthew chapter 1. But it's good on Christmas morning to read the history of the birth of Jesus. And we find that especially in Luke chapter 2. So what we'll do this morning is read Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 39. This is the Word of God. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those shepherds which were told them, those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. We'll read God's Word that far this morning. Now let's turn in our Bible to Matthew chapter 1 and read what will be the text for the sermon this morning. And that's verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. This is the word of the angel in the dream to Joseph. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of those who are visiting with us this morning, and there are quite a few with us here today, I'd like to explain briefly what I've been doing in a brief series of sermons on the end of Matthew chapter 1. This is the third sermon on the end of Matthew 1 from verses 18 to 25. Last week, Sunday, I preached a sermon on the history expressed here regarding the announcement of the birth of Jesus to Joseph. That's what we have at the end of Matthew 1. The Gospel according to Luke records the announcement of the birth of Jesus by Gabriel to Mary. Matthew records that announcement to Joseph. And in the sermon last week, Sunday, I explained the circumstances surrounding this announcement. The fact that Joseph believed that Mary was unfaithful to him because he learned that she was pregnant. But in the face of that very distressing circumstance, God gave to him a wonderful revelation. And that wonderful revelation is found in these words of the angel, that Mary was not unfaithful, but in fact was pregnant with the very Son of God conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then we considered in that sermon last week, Sunday, the fact that Joseph believed that word of God through the angel in the dream. He believed that word such that he lived according to it. And after that dream, though she was pregnant, still he took her to be his wife. In the sermon yesterday morning, what I did was explain in more detail a particular part of the word of the angel to Joseph in that dream. And that was the fact that his name, his personal name, would be Jesus. Many had that name Jesus at that time. It was a common name. But Christ had to have the personal name Jesus because He alone was the one who was able to do that which the name meant. He alone is Jehovah's salvation, for He shall save His people from their sins. And now in the sermon this morning, we conclude our treatment of these verses at the end of Matthew 1 by considering that second name that the angel reveals that the Christ would have. Not only is He Jesus, but He shall also be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So we consider in this morning's sermon that truth, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The 3 points of the sermon are the following. In the first place, let's consider the wonder that's expressed in that name. In the second place, let's consider the fulfillment that's part of this text, that this is the name that He receives in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7. And then in the third place, let's see the salvation. Emmanuel, God with us, the wonder, the fulfillment, and the salvation. In this name, Emmanuel, beloved, we have revealed to us the wonder and the doctrine of the Incarnation. And that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not all about gifts, which is what so very easily can skew ours and our children's understanding of this time of the year. Christmas is not all about time off of work, which sometimes we can find more joy in than the message of the gospel. Christmas is not about all of the trappings that go along with this time of the year, the decorations and the trees and all of the rest. What is Christmas all about? Christmas is about this. It's about the Incarnation, the wonder, and the doctrine that is expressed in that word Incarnation, which we are familiar with, the word that means literally the infleshing, that the true and eternal Son of God became a man, that the infinite and glorious second person of the Trinity took on human flesh. And there's no name that reveals the wonder of the Incarnation better than this name found in Matthew chapter 1. That the one born from the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And remember the fundamental point concerning the names of God and the names of Jesus. We took note of this with respect to the name Jesus. But I remind us of this truth with respect to the name Emmanuel, that the nature of the names of Jesus is such that He is the reality of that which the name means. It's not just a way to refer to Him by, but Jesus possesses these names because He actually is what the name says. He is Jesus because He truly saves His people from their sins. And He is Emmanuel because He is truly God with us. And that is why this name chiefly expounds for us the truth and the doctrine of the Incarnation. Because that one in Mary's womb truly is God with us. God come into the flesh. The word of the angel with respect to this name, Emmanuel, is exactly the same thing as what he did with respect to the name Jesus. He says his name shall be Jesus. Then he explains it. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's an explanation of the name Jesus, Matthew 1:21. The angel does the same thing with respect to this name, Emmanuel. He shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us is what the name Emmanuel means. I'd like to make a few points here explaining that wonder of the Incarnation as it is expressed in this name, Emmanuel. In the first place, what this name reveals so very clearly is that Jesus is God. In answer to the question, who is Jesus? Who is this baby born in Bethlehem on that first Christmas morning hundreds of years ago? The answer to that question, according to the name Emmanuel, very simply is this. He is God. And that's the wonder of all wonders, the wonder of the Incarnation. John chapter 1 is a passage that is so helpful for us in understanding the truth of the Incarnation. We're very familiar with John chapter 1. The first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That Word, according to John 1 verse 18, is this: "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." The Word of John 1 is the only begotten Son. And then you go to verse 14. "And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here we plumb the depths of who Jesus is. He is God because He is the second person of the Trinity, come into the flesh. The person of Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. And when I say the person of Jesus, what I mean by that is the part of Jesus that says, "I." That's our person. When we say, I am, I did this," that "I" is our person. In the being of God, the one being of God, there are three that say, "I." The Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. Who is this Jesus born of the Virgin Mary? He is the second person of the Trinity. When He said, "I," that is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Fast forward in Jesus' ministry when He says in John chapter 8 these very profound words, "Before Abraham was, I am." How could Jesus, on this earth, in the flesh and blood, say, "Before Abraham was, I am"? He could say that because the "I" of Jesus, when He said, "I am," that was the second person of the Holy Trinity. And that leads us to the second point, and this is the wonder of the Incarnation, that God, the second person of the Trinity, is with us. And with us, because He came into the flesh. The wonder of the Incarnation is that that moment that the Holy Spirit worked in the womb of the Virgin Mary, God became man. That embryo in Mary's womb that developed over 9 months, so that on that first Christmas morning in the manger in Bethlehem, a baby was laid. That baby was the second person of the Holy Trinity come into the flesh. And that's what's expressed in the name Emmanuel, God with us. Of course it's true that it can always be said that God is with His people. All throughout the Old Testament, God was with His church. He was present with His church through the Word that He spoke, through the revelation of that Word, and by the Spirit that was present in the church of the Old Testament. But when we read that Christ's name was Emmanuel, that's not what it's referring to. The fact that God has always been with us in that sense, it adds to that, that God is with us in this sense. He's with us in the flesh. So that at the time that Jesus was born, they would be able to look in the eyes of Jesus and behold Jesus, and they would see God. And He is always with us now in the flesh, so that our eternal salvation is beholding God Himself in the face of Jesus Christ, who is a man. And that leads me to the third point, and that is that in this name, Emmanuel, God with us, we really have the fullness of who Jesus is. United in the one person, the second person of the Trinity, is Christ, who possesses two natures. He is God truly and fully. And He is man truly and fully. He is God with us. One of the main emphasis of the word of the angel to Joseph in that dream is that of the virgin birth. And beloved, herein lies the necessity of the virgin birth. For our salvation as sinners standing before God, Jesus had to be both fully. This name had to be true of Christ. He had to be God and He had to be with us as a man, truly and fully on both sides. And therein lies the necessity of the virgin birth. The only way for Jesus to be both God and man, to be God with us, is by means of the virgin birth. And here we see the mysterious and profound ways of God. That God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Yes, this does make sense. Yes, this is logical. And I hope that becomes clear in my explanation of this in a few minutes. But we also recognize here that we are dealing with the ways of God which are so much higher than our ways. How would it be possible that there would be one on this earth who is fully and truly God and fully and truly man? How will God accomplish that wonder of wonders so that there would be one on this earth who could take the name Emmanuel and have it mean the fullness of what it means for that particular person? And in the mysterious and profound ways of God, the answer to the how of that being the case is by means of the virgin birth, the conception by the Holy Spirit. Consider with me the other options, if we can speak that way. Would this be true of Jesus, fully God and fully man, God with us? If the Christ came from a man and a woman, could it be said of the Christ child that He is fully God and fully man, God with us, if the origin of Christ was a man and a woman? And the answer to that is obviously no. He would be only man and in no sense divine. But then the other option doesn't work either. That could you say He is fully God and fully man, God with us, if it was only God and there was no element of humanity involved with His coming forth? And the answer to that is no as well. In the Old Testament, when the angel of the Lord appeared to God's people, it was only a resemblance at times of a man, an appearance. But there wasn't true humanity there. And if the origin was only of God and there was no humanity involved with the coming forth of Jesus, He's not truly and fully human. And beloved, for our salvation, He has to be fully man. The virgin birth and the conception by the Holy Spirit was the perfect means according to the will of God and the profound means according to the will of God, so that the one who would come forth from Mary is Emmanuel, God with us. Fully with us. Because He was in the womb of Mary. He developed like every other baby is developed in this world, fully human, fully with us, but also fully and truly God as the one conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. On this Christmas morning, beloved, this is the wonder of all wonders, that the infinite and glorious God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became a man. We can add to that wonder of wonders. The wonder of the Incarnation is also the astounding truth revealed in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 revealing the truth that Jesus Christ came in humility, the one who is equal with God, the second person of the Trinity, for all of eternity enjoying perfect living fellowship and communion with the Father through the Spirit. He emptied Himself so that the wonder of the Incarnation, God with us, is not just God became a man, but it's the type of man that He became. He came as a humbled man, as a servant, with the sins of His people upon Him. And we read Luke 2 this morning, and Matthew chapter 1, and we have on our minds this morning the wonderful history of the Incarnation. And what does all of the history of the birth of Jesus proclaim so loudly and so clearly? It proclaims this: He came in humility. He was God, yes, and He was God in the flesh in humility, because when He came with the intent to go to one place, and that was the cross for the salvation of His church. And the wonder of the truth of the Incarnation revealed in God with us is that He came not only in humility, but He came in love. The message of the Christmas gospel is the message of the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ for His church. That God became a man in humility out of love. And it was love that led to Him coming to this earth as a man. And it was love for His bride that led to Him coming with His sins, their sins upon Him. And it was love that led Him not only to come, but to die for the salvation of His body. Ponder, beloved, this morning, on this Christmas day, the wonder of all wonders that Jesus, born in Bethlehem many years ago, is God with us. This word of the angel and the birth of Jesus is also the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It's the fulfillment of the word of God that we find in Isaiah chapter 7. And we have to explain this briefly because this is an important element of these two verses in Matthew chapter 1. A special point of that is made in verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child," and then what follows. This is found in the book of Matthew. The gospel according to Matthew especially serves the purpose of demonstrating that the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Matthew was written to Jews to demonstrate that all of the Old Testament and all of the promises of God in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the coming life and death of Jesus Christ. And right at the beginning of the book of Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes this: that Jesus, born of the Virgin, named Emmanuel, God with us, is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 7. It's the fulfillment because it is the prophecy of the Lord, emphasized in verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. The omniscient, faithful God of all things, through the prophet, gave that word in Isaiah 7. And because it was the Lord's word, years later, it comes to a fulfillment in the conception of Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit of the one who is named Emmanuel. So let's say a few things about the historical context in which that prophecy was given. I'll read the verse itself. It's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." We have to understand a little bit of the context of Isaiah 7 to understand this prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 7, we have the word of the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz, king of Judah. Now, what's going on in Isaiah chapter 7 is that there was an alliance between Pekah, king of Israel, and Rezin, king of Syria. And they came together intent upon destroying Judah and dethroning the king of Israel and setting up their own vassal king in Judah, Tabeel. Isaiah is given a word by God to bring to Ahaz, the king of Judah. And the word basically to Ahaz is don't fear. Don't fear because they will not be victorious. They will not dethrone the king of Judah. In fact, he says in the verses prior that Israel, who is threatening Judah's existence, one day will be brought into captivity. God's word to Ahaz through the prophet was very clear. The threat was real, but they need not fear because God would preserve Judah. And then Isaiah tells Ahaz to ask for a sign. To ask for a sign to indicate that that word, that Judah would be preserved by God, was in fact true. Ahaz refuses to ask for a sign, supposedly acting as though he's pious for not asking for a sign. We read in verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. There's an air of piety there. I'm not going to tempt the Lord and therefore ask for a sign. But that's not at all the reason he did not ask for a sign. He didn't ask for a sign because Ahaz wanted nothing to do with the Word of God. Ahaz, as we know, was terribly wicked. He hated God. And he wanted nothing to do with the Word of God. And he knew that in response to Isaiah's word, ask for a sign, that if he was to ask for a sign, that was the first step of acknowledging that the word of God through the prophet was true. And so he would not ask for a sign. And in response to that, God, through the prophet Isaiah, gives Ahaz a sign. This shall be the sign. A virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son whose name shall be called Emmanuel. Now we need to remember that when Isaiah received his word, he received the word of God as a vision. He sees a young woman who is a virgin. He sees this woman bring forth a child. He sees the child come forth from the virgin whose name would be Emmanuel. And that vision that he sees, that he expresses to Ahaz, is a sign of salvation. That's what we don't read in Matthew 1. We don't read about that word sign. We do find that in Isaiah 7. This was a sign. And signs are the revelations and the expressions of the gospel. As we know, the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, part of what the sacrament is it's a sign. Why is it a sign? Because it's a sign that points to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the salvation of the church. What's the sign revealed in Isaiah chapter 7? The sign is that a virgin would conceive. There's so much controversy around Isaiah 7:14. Denials of the gospel in certain translations of the Bible that don't use the word virgin. It's true that the word can be translated as young woman or young maid. And so they replace the word virgin, Isaiah 7:14, with the word young woman or young maid. Where's the sign in a young woman conceiving and having a child? There's no sign in that. The sign that which sets this conception apart is the fact that Mary was a virgin. And that virgin birth is the sign of salvation. The sign that God will deliver and save His church. In that sign and in that name, Emmanuel, we have revealed, therefore, the salvation of the church. Let's think about that salvation from two points of view. Let's stay with the history and the conclusion of the sermon this morning. This was a sign in the Old Testament at the time of the kingdom of Judah. When Isaiah saw a virgin bring forth a child who would be called Emmanuel, that was the manifestation of God's salvation of His church. Why? Because it meant that God was faithful to the promise of the Old Testament. What was the devil's intent all throughout the Old Testament? From the very beginning, after the promise was given in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would come to destroy the seed of the serpent, what was the devil's attempt? At every point in history, the purpose by the devil was to prohibit the coming of Christ, the one who would be God in the flesh, who alone would conquer the enemies of God. And here in this history, in Isaiah chapter 7, that was the intent. Israel, Syria, coming together, destroying the line of David, so that the Christ would not come forth. So that when Isaiah sees in his vision, off into the distance, a woman who was a virgin who would bring forth a child, Emmanuel, what that meant, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that the word spoken by the prophet to Ahaz was true. Judah would not be destroyed. The line of David would not be wiped out. And this is why the Christ would come forth. And Isaiah saw it. He saw that the one who was born from the Virgin Mary was Emmanuel, God with us. So that in the virgin conceiving, we have the one, the only one who brings true victory for His church. Because only, as I explained earlier in the sermon, in the way of the virgin birth, could be true that He is God and man, and therefore Savior of the church. And in the second place, the nature of this salvation is revealed in the name Emmanuel. The salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ, and what that salvation really is all about, is expressed so beautifully in this name Emmanuel, because this name Emmanuel is a covenant name. In this name Emmanuel, we have expressed so clearly and beautifully the glorious doctrine of the covenant. What is God with us but that? It's friendship. It's fellowship. It's communion. It's love. It's joy. It's life. Look at what we're doing right now together. What do we say about what we have together right now? We are with each other. That language of with each other expresses what this gathering is all about. We are with each other in fellowship and communion in the Word of God and in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. In that little prepositional phrase, with us, we have expounded the glorious truth of our covenant life and salvation with God in Jesus Christ. He is with us, so that in Jesus Christ we have life with God. Through His life of perfect obedience and through His atoning death on the cross and through His resurrection from the dead, He earns the salvation of His church. And in this name, we look back at His birth and see that this is who was born in Bethlehem that first Christmas morning. But we also look forward to what is to come, because we are going to be with Him. We are going to see the living God of heaven and earth in the flesh, in the resurrected and glorified body of Jesus Christ and with our resurrected and glorified bodies at the end of all things, we are going to see and dwell with Jesus Christ. And in Him, we have the fullness of the God of all things revealed. Right now, through the preaching of the gospel and through the word that goes forth, we are with God and by His Spirit that is worked in our hearts. We experience right now this covenant life through Jesus Christ. And one day, in the new heaven and new earth, we will dwell with the One who is God with us, come into the flesh, with whom we have life, and with whom we have eternal life through His perfect work of dying and raising from the dead to accomplish our salvation. Beloved, we answer the question, who was born on Christmas morning? And the answer to that question is God with us. The spirit of Antichrist in this world denies that Jesus came into the flesh. The Spirit of God confesses that the only begotten Son of God became a man. And on this Christmas morning, may God work through the preaching of His Word to strengthen our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.